Tonight we continue our Peacemaker series, looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. In these verses we find the first step of true godly biblical peacemaking. Matthew 7, we're going to read the first 12 verses of this section of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7. This is the word of God. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Thus far we read God's word. As I said, the text is verses 3 through 5. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on the preaching. Father in heaven, we pray that as we sit under the preaching, we would receive this instruction as the authoritative word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, that as we learn proper biblical peacemaking, that we would have the grace and strength to put away the wrong way of dealing with sin and conflict in our lives. Maybe for some of us, there's a long-standing rut of doing this wrongly and doing this disobediently. We pray, O Lord, that we would not only learn how we are to do it, but that we would have the ability, through the powerful work of the Holy Spirit, to put this into practice. So may we listen with the desire to live this word for the glory of thy name. The strength of thy servant as well as he brings this word, and he bring this word to us in truth. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we began our series on peacemaking, understanding what biblical, godly peacemaking is. Peacemaking is addressing sin and conflict in God's way. We understand and should always remember that just because we deal with sin in the right way doesn't mean we get the desired outcome. It doesn't mean there's always going to be a relationship of peace. It takes two people, or if there are more involved, many people, to follow the principles of biblical peacemaking so that there's actual peace between people. So that's why we define peacemaking as addressing sin and conflict in God's way. When we look at what God's Word has to say about this very subject, what we may find is that the way we've been doing things is shown to be wrong. There may be a battle that goes on within us, in our minds, in our hearts, and with our very actions Because we may be finding we're not doing things rightly. Many times when there's conflict, when sin is committed against us, we respond, on the one hand, maybe with anger, with yelling, anger that's manifested in that way, where others can see it visibly that we are. But for others, it might be a backing away from the situation, not wanting to be confrontational at all, not wanting to address anything at all, just simply backing away. And we might think in our own minds, that's better than the one who yells and is visibly angry. Well, the Word of God says to us, no, one's not better than the other. Neither one is biblical. Neither one is what God calls us to do in times of conflict, in times of fighting, when we have been sinned against. So it may be that our consciences are pricked. It may even be that we don't know where to begin in living this out because we're finding that we've done it wrongly for so long. Well, if you're seeing that, understanding that, get help. Talk to myself, talk to the elders, talk to some other mature man or woman in the church that you see as a biblical peacemaker and have them help you with that. We can learn together. But what we want to see and understand that in all of this, we want to obey Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. So we want to do things His way, dealing with sin and conflict in His way. Remember the three principles of dealing with conflict and of biblical peacemaking. We talked about those last week. And I want to keep setting them before you so that we remember them, so that we begin thinking about them and can use these principles as well as we live our lives and deal with conflict in our lives. Where are those three principles? Well, the first is the glory of God. We want to do all things to the glory of God. Second principle is that we want to serve others. That's our calling. It's to serve others. And thirdly, through conflict that we experience in our lives, we want to grow to be like Christ. Because that's what God's doing in everything that happens to us. According to Romans 8, verse 28, all things are for our good, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. With that being said, the question we face tonight is, what does this passage tell us about peacemaking? Well, the passage before us gives us the first step in biblical peacemaking. It may be surprising to us. We wouldn't think of this necessarily as the first step, but this is it. The first step in biblical peacemaking is casting the log out of our own eye before we're addressing the sin in someone else's eye. Addressing the sin in our own lives, our own minds, our own hearts, before addressing the sins of others. When we begin with this step, this puts us on the pathway of being true, biblical, godly peacemakers, doing things God's way. And that's true because this is the step that frees us from all pride and self-righteousness. And in fact, it leads us to humility, which is the only proper way for us to resolve conflict and sin between us. We're taught here by the Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount to take responsibility for our own part in a conflict. And to look, in fact, at ourselves first and not at others first. What an appropriate word for us in this week then as we examine ourselves. Self-examination, not everybody else examination. Oh, we're going to be involved in self-examination this week. And part of what we look at is our own sins, the logs in our own eyes. What are the logs that are there? Logs we may be blinded to right now. May this word help us in that as we examine ourselves to see our own sins, as that helps us in conflict and dealing with sin that's found in our lives, but also sin between us with others, so that we would then be peacemakers in a good, right, and biblical way. So we continue then looking at what it is to be a biblical peacemaker using the theme tonight, casting out the log, casting out the log.
We notice first the instructional figure, secondly the necessary viewpoint, and then finally the foundational truth. With the figure of the log and sliver. Now in the KJV, it's beam and moat. In language we use today, it's log and sliver. In that language of the text, Jesus is teaching us how to deal with sins that are committed against us, or how to deal with conflict, with a fighting that arises in our own lives with someone else. Or it has to do with how we address sins that we see in the lives of other people. The text speaks about sin in two different ways. First of all, it's in the context. In the context, Jesus is addressing judging in the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus here speaks of judging, he's speaking of judging from this point of view, making a determination about sin. That's judging. Making a determination about the rightness or wrongness of the actions of someone else. And then, of course, ourselves. So that's what judging is. A determination with the Word of God of what is right and what is wrong. Now, this is something that does happen in conflict. Just think about it. Think about a time when your kids were fighting. Think about a time when husband and wife had a conflict. Think about it when you had a conflict with someone else. We're making judgments in those times. And usually the first place we look is the other person, making a judgment about the rightness and usually the wrongness of the way in which they behaved, the way in which they spoke to us, the way in which they did something. But this is also something that we do when we observe sin in the lives of others. We are to make a judgment about that. We see sin, and we're to judge that according to the Word of God. We should understand Jesus here in Matthew 7 is not forbidding all judging. He's not saying don't do it at all. He's forbidding the wrong way that the Pharisees did it in their self-righteousness and pride. But what we want to see and understand is that Jesus is addressing these very things here. Conflict and the sin we might see in the lives of others. Second way in which we see Jesus addressing that is in the very figure itself when he speaks of beam or log and sliver. Both of those figures are used to describe sin. The sin of ourselves and the sin that is found in the lives of others, whether in a conflict or simply in their lives. A beam refers to, like we might see in church here, these large wood beams that hold up the structure of the building. Okay? And in contrast to that, a teeny tiny little sliver that might be found in the corner of one's eye, like when you get sawdust, if you're cutting something, get sawdust stuck in your eye. That's the contrast. These big beams and that little speck of sawdust. But both of those are referring to sin. They could even be the same sin. And therefore the perspective that we might have of it, but a little wood shaving that comes from that beam, they're part of the same piece of wood, but one's bigger, one is smaller. And that does tell us as well that there are sins that are different. Yes, all sin is against God. All sin deserves the wrath of God. And yet we recognize and understand that there are some sins that are worse than other sins. And there's even a greater judgment for some sins in contrast to others. But here Jesus is referring again to sin. So Jesus here is giving us instruction about the things that might regularly happen in our own homes. The fights that can occur between brother and sister, brother and brother, sister and sister at home. Jesus here is talking about the conflicts that may arise in marriage between husband and wife. And I'm not just talking about the times when maybe a husband and wife yell at each other. No, it's not just always in that way, but still there are conflicts, disagreements that we might have in our marriages about spending money, how we spend our time, what family we're going to go by on a holiday or on vacation with. These are the things that can come up between parents and children. Even when children are young, but when children are older as well, there can be conflicts between parents and children. And the things that parents believe are important and the rules that should be followed and the way maybe a young person sees that, there can be conflict in that way. These are the things that can happen within families more broadly, even when they're older, not just when the children are young. These are things that can happen in the church. In the church as well. So there are some people who are a bit at odds with one another. They might avoid going near each other, shaking hands if they don't have to. Things like that. Conflicts that are long-standing have arisen between members in the church. Or these are the things that go on with others. I mentioned last week, there may be those of you who have family members who are divorced and remarried. Judgments have to be made in regard to that. And then also we look at what are these principles of proper peacemaking have to do with those situations. Those kinds of things, that's important as well. And it's going to come as well, how to deal with homosexuality in the church as that happens as well. It's not just in the world, but happens within the church as well. There are judgments to be made about that. It can happen in regard to the way we raise our children. Judgments are made about that. And how do we deal with these things and even conflict that arises? Or think about the workplace, your working environment. It can happen with the stresses and pressures of the workplace. Co-workers get angry with each other. Some co-workers come to work Monday morning crabby. I remember a long time ago when I was working as a painter, there was a co-worker that almost every Monday morning he came to work a grouch. Could figure on it. Every Monday morning it was going to be that way. How do we deal with that kind of situation? Jesus is addressing these kinds of real life things. And here with the figure, first of all, Jesus addresses the wrong way of dealing with these sins that we see in others. Jesus addresses the self-righteous, hypocritical, distorted way in which we often judge the sins of others in comparison to ours. We often judge the sins committed by others against us as worse than the sins that we commit. We turn the figure of Jesus around. The way we often look at things and our skewed perspective, our sinful, self-righteous perspective, is that they're the one with the log, I'm the one with the sliver. Jesus is addressing that very thinking here. When it comes to conflict, just think about it. A time when there was conflict, did we think, I'm the one with the big problem, not her, not him? Or don't we often think, if only they would humble themselves, if only they would see, he would see, she would see what she's doing wrong, what he's saying, then we could get this resolved and get it figured out. If only he would. That's the perspective we often have. They've got the log. I have the sliver. There are biblical examples of that. Consider David. David had that perspective. Remember his sins, murder and adultery. But when Nathan the prophet came to him and told him about a man who stole the lamb of another man, David judged that that sin was worse than his. And what did David say? That man ought to be put to death. Then Nathan the prophet said, you're the man. You're the man. But David's perspective was wrong. It was off. It was skewed. It was self-righteous. It was hypocritical. It was distorting. There's a time as well in Jesus' ministry when Jesus points that out to a man. Remember, there's the man who came to Jesus and complained to Jesus that his brother wouldn't divide the inheritance with him. He wanted Jesus to tell him he was right and his brother was in the wrong. Remember what Jesus said to him? Beware of the sin of covetousness. Jesus showed him, no, man, you have something to work on. You have something to look at. Take care of the log, the beam in your own eye, in your own life, before you go looking at your brother and talking to him about dividing the inheritance. And so it can often go that way for us, can't it? In our marriages, with our children, in the conflicts that we may have, as we view the sins of others. It can happen in personal matters, the attitudes of others and how they treat us. And we think it's all them and we don't look at ourselves at all. That can happen within the church. I gave the example this morning, I think, of a husband who may address with his sons the way in which they talk to their mother, the daughters in the way in which they talk to their mother, but don't look at the way in which they talk. He talks to his wife. And that can be turned around and applied in many different ways. That's what Jesus is addressing here. We easily judge that the greater offense is committed by everybody else. We can do that even as a church. Look at those other churches and what they're doing. They don't have an evening service anymore. And they're departing from the truth. And we need to make those judgments and understand those things. But at the same time, Jesus is telling us here, we do have to look at ourselves. So easily we can point the finger at everybody else. Jesus addresses that here and says, no, that's not the first step. The first step is not looking at everybody else's sin. Step number one in peacemaking is first looking at your own sin. Jesus says, and it's a command, cast the beam out of your own eye first. Notice what he says in verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first, this comes first, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. You want to see clearly the sins of others? He's saying you don't see it clearly until you first see and understand your own sin, the logs in your own life. What is Jesus saying here then when he says, first cast the beam out of your own eye? That means, first of all, examine. We must examine ourselves. Okay, when we're in a conflict and there's disagreement, there's fighting that went on. When we see the sin of someone else and we know that we have to address that, that God's calling us to do that, we want to do that in the right way. First before you go, first before you deal with the conflict, Jesus is saying, examine yourself, examine your own life. Examine your own actions, examine your own thoughts, examine your own heart and your own desires before you go and try to resolve the conflict. Don't go into conflict resolving thinking that it's all on the other person. Jesus says, no, first examine yourself. That means one of the things that we should do is we should be familiar with log lists. A log list is a list of my own sins. Sins that I need to work on. Sins that I fall into often. Sins that I see in my own heart and in my own life. That'd be good for us to do in this week as we examine ourselves. Make such a list. What are my sins? Sins I struggle with. Sins I want defeated by the power of God's grace. Beloved, let's understand, when we understand the sovereignty of God, then that means, too, that conflict is an occasion for us to see our own sins better and to see where we must change. If you didn't get that, I want to repeat it. It's so important. Conflict, under the sovereignty of God, is the opportunity, the occasion in our lives to see our own sins better and to see better where it is that we need to change. Jesus commands us here, then cast out the beam. Cast out the beam. That means as you see and examine yourself, repent of that sin. Part of that is confess. When we see that sin, then we're going to go to resolve that conflict. We're going to go to someone who's walking in sin, making a confession ourselves. This is where I've sinned. This is where I did wrongly. So that with husband, with wife, with children, with parents, we're going to first be confessing the sins that we have committed with our co-workers, with members in the church or our friends. We're not going to begin pointing the finger, at least not pointing the finger at them. But we're going to begin pointing the finger at ourselves and then confessing that sin and expressing our commitment to change and to turn from that sin. Only then do we see things right from the right perspective. That's what Jesus is saying here. Only then do you see things rightly. When I understand I'm the one with the log and their sin is the sliver. That gives us the right perspective. It helps. Only then can we really help someone when we're humbled in that way. So that's the second thing we want to see from this instruction of Jesus. The figure that Jesus uses points out our sin and how we're to deal with that sin. But now, Jesus teaches us through this the right viewpoint and the necessary viewpoint. And the question is why does examining ourselves and looking at ourselves first, why does that give us the right perspective in dealing with conflict and resolving conflict? Well, first of all, it gives us the right perspective because then we go to the person, to the brother, to the sister, to the family member with deep humility. And that's in contrast to the self-righteous, proud perspective of the Pharisees that Jesus is addressing in that day. Jesus commands us to examine ourselves before addressing sin in someone else's life in order to deliver us from self-righteousness and pride. Jesus here in the text is forbidding the hypocritical judging that the Pharisees did in that way. You see, the Pharisees, and we know enough about the Bible to understand the Pharisees, they were always concerned about everybody else. Remember the prayer in Jesus' parable, where there was the publican who prayed, but also the Pharisee. Remember the way the Pharisee prayed? I thank you that I'm not like these other men. I'm not even like this publican. I'm not like all these other sinners around me. That was the attitude of the Pharisees. Everybody else had the problem. I don't. Jesus says that's the wrong perspective to have. That's the perspective of pride. But it's not just for the Pharisees. That's for us tonight. That's for us tonight. Because the inclination of our sinful natures is to look at things from that very perspective. And Jesus knows it. We can even sound quite pious in all of this. Oh yeah, I'm a sinner. I know the greatness of my sins. But the first key we really don't is that we just speak in generalities. Generalities. Yep, I'm a sinner. I do bad things. But nothing specific. Generalities don't show that we really get it. In fact, that attitude is manifest in a desire to criticize others. Always looking at others and criticizing them for what they do. And think it's all about them. They're never good enough. The standard's never high enough. They never meet the standard that we have. Jesus says this is not the perspective of a peacemaker. If you have this perspective and you see that perspective in yourself, Jesus says you're not a peacemaker. You're not resolving conflict in His way. You're not resolving sin in His way. The right way is humility. It's humility. And we must go with humility to those who are walking in ways of sin, because what we do in talking to them about sin is something extremely delicate. There's one time that I had an eyelash that was caught in my own eye, and it was in there for a couple of weeks, and finally I had to go to the eye doctor to get it out. Now think about that. I don't wear contacts. I've never been fishing around in my eyes. I was extremely uncomfortable as the eye doctor had to go in there and pull that eyelash. And that we know how sensitive the eyes are. Someone comes up to poke you in the eye, they go close. They shut up. You shut them. They're sensitive. We're that way spiritually too. Our souls are sensitive. So that when someone comes to talk about our sins, it's like poking in the eye. Our first response is to back away from it. We often don't want to hear it. Well, when we go with pride, then we're not acknowledging that. We're not understanding that. We're not understanding how sensitive this is when we talk to someone else about sin. But when we go in humility, the humility of understanding, I know how sensitive this is because I know my own sin. And I know how hard it is to have my sin pointed out. I've had to look and I've found things that are ugly. I found beams. I found logs in my own eye. I understand how painful this is. I'm here to help. I'm not here to poke. That's the attitude that we go with. And that's what the Proverbs emphasizes over and over again. A soft answer turns away wrath. This is what helps in conflict and in fighting. This kind of attitude of humility. But along with that, we must go with this attitude because that shows we understand the grace of God. Yes, our sin humbles us, but grace humbles us as well. And then when we can go to them and say, yeah, there's sin and you've been walking in this, I'm concerned about this. But there's an answer to that. And that answer is the grace of God. And I know that answer personally. Because I've walked in sin too, and I've even sinned against you. And I've had to trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, in the payment that Jesus made for it. The reality is that often when there's a conflict, and we're trying to resolve conflict, and we go to talk to someone else about their sin, the response that we often get is them pointing at us. What about what you've done? And when we followed this first step of Jesus, we can say to someone who we're talking to about sin, good, let's talk about me. I'm willing to do that. I want to see my sin too. So if you see something I don't see, I'm all ears. But, we're going to get to the other side too. Not because I want things equal and fair. It's not about that. It's because you ought to want the same. And I'm concerned about you. And so we have to talk about that too. We can't allow it to be blame shifting. Okay? Not blame shifting, not pointing at someone else, not a deflection. But this is the way real biblical peacemaking works. And just think, if two people who at one time had a conflict, who sinned against each other, they come to each other with this humility. Think about it in your homes, in your marriages. Think about it between brothers and sisters who sometimes fight and don't always get along. We go with this attitude, how quickly these things can be and are resolved. This is the right perspective. The right perspective is the perspective of humility. Looking at ourselves and our own sin gives us that perspective by the grace of God. Then along with that, we will then see clearly whether or not we ought even to address the sins that are found in the life of someone else. When we examine ourselves, then that helps us to determine that. Because in pride, our judgment is, they've got the log, I've got the sliver. When we examine ourselves, what we often might find is, I've got the log,
and they've got the sliver. And then if it's a sliver, then we determine if we are to address that or talk about that at all.
We remember here what we read in 1 Peter 4, verse 8, that love covers a multitude of sins. We have to remember as well what we read in Proverbs 19, verse 11, where we read, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." Now, that doesn't mean we should pass over all transgressions or all sins. But we do have to face the question, is this really worth addressing or fighting over? We may have that in our marriages. I tell couples in pre-marriage counseling this all the time. I made a big deal early in my marriage about things that weren't a big deal. It was wrong on my part and shouldn't be done. We have to learn to overlook minor offenses because in that way we imitate the mercy and the forgiveness and the kindness of our God. What's a minor offense? Well, it's when this offense does not separate us. Okay, it's something that doesn't come between us, it doesn't have to, or the offense is not serious enough to harm the reputation of God. Okay, there are certain offenses that don't in that way harm the reputation of God. There are certain offenses that don't come between two people. And those are the offenses we should just overlook. Love covers a multitude of these things. But instead, positively, that's where we ought to begin looking at the positive things about other people in our lives. We can easily point out the negatives. Look at the good qualities of your spouse. Praise him or her for them. Look at the good qualities in your children. Look at the good qualities in your parents. Look at the good qualities in your brother or sister. And say something nice. Maybe parents have said that to you kids. No, say something nice about your brother or sister. The point is to start thinking that way. There are many biblical examples of those who did this. They gave up their rights or what they maybe thought they deserved. There are many biblical examples of people who've done that, who didn't make a big deal about something that could have been a source of conflict. Think of the Apostle Paul, who gave up his right to financial support as he spoke of that in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 12. I was at a Bible study this past week, and we looked at that passage. And Paul said, I had the right to financial support from the church, but I didn't take it. Think about Abraham. When he deferred to Lot, God had promised to Abraham the promised land, but yet, when there was a conflict between them, what did Abraham do? He was a peacemaker. He said to Lot, "Lot, you choose first. What land do you want to go to? It's not good for us to live in this way." God had promised the land to Abraham. Lot should have said to Abraham, "No, Abraham, you go first." But of course, Lot and his love for riches and things wasn't thinking in those terms. But Abraham didn't make a big deal about it. He let Lot go first without any comment. Think about David and his mercy on Shimei. Shimei, that man who came out and mocked David and cursed David. And David's men wanted to go out and kill him. And David said, "No, just leave him alone. God brought him here." David understood the sovereignty of God. Think of Jesus himself. All the reproach that he bore on his way to laying down his life on the cross. And he said nothing. When we understand our own sinfulness, that helps us to see the sins of others in a proper view. Is this a big deal or not? And if it's not, I'll just let it go. I will look over it. That's what Jesus Christ Himself calls us to do here as we see the logs in our own eyes and become aware of the slivers in the eyes of others. Now, that doesn't keep us from addressing all sin. That's not the point. There are sins that must be addressed, sins between each other, conflicts that must be addressed in our marriages. It's not good for us if all we're doing is having this conflict and we never deal with it. Never deal with it. We just let it go and it's never dealt with. It's not good. What happens? It's like a volcano erupting finally. It can't be held in anymore. And then it's not dealt with in God's way. but we recognize there are some things that don't need to be dealt with. This is the instruction Jesus gives us, the first step of proper peacemaking. But there's a foundational truth behind all of this. And that foundational truth, something I alluded to throughout the sermon, it's the mercy and the kindness of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus here in the text gives a sharp rebuke to the wrong viewpoint. Not peacemaking in a right way. He says, "Thou hypocrite," verse 5. He says that as well in verse 2. "Thou hypocrite," he says there. These sharp words of Jesus ought to touch our souls tonight as well. He's saying that we must not judge with a hypocritical judging. And if we do, then we are hypocrites. Why is that? What makes us hypocrites? Well, what makes us hypocrites is this. We're not living out of our knowledge of the mercy and the love and the kindness of our God. How does God deal with us? Well, He does address our sins. He points out our sins, but He does that in such a way that He's merciful and kind in doing so. And so that's what Jesus is pointing out here. If we're judging in this wrong way, in this self-righteous, in this proud way, what He's pointing out, what He puts His finger on, is that He's saying to us, we really don't understand the mercy and the kindness of God. That's the most important question. Beloved, do we understand the mercy and the kindness of God to sinners such as we are? Do we confess with the Apostle Paul, "I am the chief of sinners," and that Jesus came to save the chief of sinners? When we understand the grace and the mercy of God, only then can we judge in a right way. This way. This way of humility. Addressing sin as those who know the power and the awfulness of sin ourselves. So that's the question. Do we know the greatness of our sin and then the greatness of God's mercy? Then we're going to show that in the way that we deal with others. That doesn't disqualify us. That doesn't mean, oh, I may address it, I may talk about it because I'm a sinner. That's not the case. No, Jesus tells us this is the right way to deal with it. First examine yourselves, cast it out, and then go. Resolve that conflict in humility. Confess your sin. Point out the sins of others in that humble way. And may there be a restoration, a peace in that relationship in that way. As we examine ourselves in this week, and find maybe too that there's some conflict between others that needs to be resolved, may we have the grace to deal with it in this way, in humility, knowing our own sin and the wonder of God's grace. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this word. Thankful for the instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful that we, by Thy grace, take sin seriously, not simply the sins of others, but our own. May we take our own sin seriously in this week as we examine ourselves. But also may we help one another. May we encourage one another. We pray, Father, that through these steps of peacemaking that Thou hast given Thy word, that we would be peacemakers who want Thy name to be glorified in this way. Forgive us where we've not done it rightly. We're thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ that covers all of our sins. And now give us strength to do it rightly. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.